This interview is brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. You can check out the full episode at lickinonlending.com.
Matt Graham's here, and Matt, looking up at your screen, love your screen.
All right. I bet you want to know a little bit about what's going on in the markets this week, last week.
I do.
So last week, we had sort of two competing forces set the tone. One was the stimulus negotiations, sort of ongoing. And as a reminder, stimulus, to whatever extent it is, you know, reasonably the same as the bills that have been floated around, is bad for the bond market because it increases treasury issuance and that creates supply and demand issue for bonds and puts upward pressure on rates. It also decreases the odds that the Fed will make a friendly move in their upcoming meeting. The week began, however, with an old friend from 2016, Brexit. And Brexit headlines have sort of been swirling a little bit. The deadline was this past weekend. And the headlines were doing a little bit of horse trading of which option was going to happen. Was it going to be a deal Brexit, no deal Brexit? And the no deal thing is good for bond markets because it increases uncertainty, causes European bond yields to fall and U.S. bond yields to fall low. And that is what we had at the beginning of last week. In the middle of the week, focus turned to treasury auctions, and we hit the highest yields of the week just before the 10-year treasury auction on Wednesday. But after that, bonds started to catch their breath. So there was clearly a bit of trepidation heading into the treasury supply. And then after the 30-year auction on Thursday, things got even better. So what I am seeing there is the bond market sort of reinforcing this ceiling that we might associate with something around 1% in 10-year yield. It ended up being only 0.96 last week, but that's been the range where we've seen the ceiling bounces. So to see a couple strong bond auctions right around those levels, it reinforces the notion that traders want that to be the upper end of the range heading into whatever the next big decision point is. Later that same day, the House adjourned without any further stimulus prospects for that week, and bonds liked that as well. Stocks fell, and there was a bit of that old-fashioned selling stocks, buying bonds movement, both on the 10th, but mostly the 11th on Friday. And MBS were underperforming, which was new for us. We haven't seen that in a while, but we're going to talk more about that in a second, too. Keep that in the back of your mind. It was a reinforcement of this sideways range at longer term high yields and treasuries. Things looked like they might be maybe getting a little bit friendly on Friday, but now at the beginning of this week, we bounced back in the other direction a bit. And that had to do with more Brexit headlines. Let me recap the data for you last week real quick. There wasn't much. We had labor costs and productivity uneventful on Tuesday. MBA purchase index declined a little bit, but the refi index surged. Wholesale inventory is just a little bit better than expected. Crude oil inventories were just gigantic. That may have had a little bit of an inflation implication. I hesitate to draw too much connection between oil and bonds, but it can happen. Then Thursday had the biggest data from a street credit standpoint, and that was core CPI, but it was unchanged and as expected. Jobless claims rose and were more than 100,000 jobs worse than the previous week. So jobless claims picked up a little bit bond friendly there as well. The core producer price index year over year, 1.4 versus 1.5. So not as high as expected. Consumer sentiment picked up 81.4 versus 76.5. That was last week's data. Now for this week, breaking down the data real quick, we have import-export prices, New York Fed, and industrial production tomorrow. None of those are really major market movers. Same story for Wednesday with the market PMI, home builder sentiment, NAHB, and then a huge market mover in the Fed, and we'll loop back to that in a moment. Thursday, housing starts, Philly Fed, and jobless claims. By Thursday, though, what we're going to find is that the markets are starting to tune out for the holiday break. All eyes are really on the Fed this week. And what's at stake for the Fed is whether or not we're going to see a change to their weighted average maturity game plan for their bond buying portfolio. And all that means is that they would spend the exact same amount of money, but buy longer dated treasuries as opposed to shorter dated treasuries. And that would have an incrementally positive benefit for the bond market, especially the kind that we care about. As to whether or not the Fed does that, it's tough to say. I think the average market participant is expecting them probably to hold steady. But the fact that I'm so wishy-washy about that, it speaks to the point that bonds are ready to react to that either way, because more than a few traders think they'll do it. and more than a few think they won't. So whichever option they choose, we're going to very likely see a reaction in the logical direction. So if they pull the trigger, if they make the change, then we should gain some ground. And if they don't make the change, then we could find ourselves challenging that 1% ceiling in treasury yields again. Challenging ceilings and treasury yields hasn't been a huge issue for the mortgage market, but we're starting to see lender margins contract and we're starting to see MBS spreads. So that means that any negative movement in treasuries is increasingly likely or capable, at least, of translating to upward movement in mortgage rates. Not quite a dire scenario yet, but it's something to keep on the radar in case we do see any significant weakness in the bond market.
Several are writing in. So when does it really hit? What's the date range for things to really start slowing down for the holidays? And when does that come back out?
After the financial crisis, then we've had like this decade of track record, and especially the last 5 years, where the December Fed meeting has taken on an outsized level of importance for anything that typically happens in December. So that is almost always around the dead center of the month, and it's always on a Wednesday. So after that Wednesday, that's really when we start to see traders check out, at least mentally or in terms of aggressive moves where they're trying to make something happen. It's more like housekeeping trades, and that can still move markets to be sure. But if it is moving markets, then the caveat is it's not necessarily moving them in the same way it's going to in January. So in this case, we have the 16th of December, 2 days from now. 17th and 18th could still see the markets trade additional momentum to whatever the Fed created on Wednesday. But then the following week, things will start to get weird. They could get illiquid. We could see some big jumps in either direction. Mortgage lenders tend to price more conservatively and tend to not reprice as readily. And there'll be a flurry of month-end, year-end, quarter-end trading the following week, with Thursday 31st and Wednesday being the 30th. But the big sort of new year positions that could speak to momentum going forward won't show up until probably Tuesday or Wednesday, 5th or 6th of January.
Very interesting. A lot of information in the markets. You got to have a screen like this that I'm looking at right now, folks. It is the MBSLive.net screen, and you got to see it. Everything's up here. Nice thing that I keep going through is got the latest live news stream in here. So good job all the way around. Love this stuff.
Thank you, Dave.
Appreciate you being a part of the podcast, and you have a great week.
You bet. Have a great rest of your week.
You betcha. By the way, folks, when you're signing up, go to the website, MBSLive.net. And when you're there, use the LOL code when signing up, and you'll get an extended free trial and without a credit card necessary. Next week, I'm excited to have on our Hot Topics segment, Nick Hedges, who is the CEO of Moment Feed, and very interesting company. By the way, we're talking about digital marketing. He's well able to talk on this topic, especially given the fact that he was the CEO of Velocify. And when that company was sold to Ellie Mae, he became senior vice president at Ellie Mae. So I'm really looking forward to the interview. I've talked to Nick about the content we're going to be covering. You're not going to want to miss this next Hot Topic. Also, later today, I am going to be on a TV show. It's one based in Florida, and you're going to want to check this out. We'll put a link to it in our show notes, so you'll be aware of it. Check it out there. It's the Who News show, and we'll have it in the show notes so you can go watch that show tonight. Very interesting. Who knew? Talking about housing finance and, in some cases, what the role of the financial planner plays in the process. It's good to have you with us, everybody. I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, Finastra, as well as the Community Home Mortgage Lenders of America, as well as Indicom, Incelerate, Mobility RE, and Modex. Have a great week, folks, and look forward to talking to you next week.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.